You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Stugatz, how do you burger and fry?
What do you mean?
When you have a burger and fry sitting in front of you, do you have like a set routine, like two fries, burger?
I go burger first, couple of fries. Sometimes I smash a couple of fries into the burger.
Me too.
What? Yeah. Wow.
Me too.
You go in order? Chris,
I always have to have two, and we're not talking about the amount of fries. We're talking about how many motions does your hand go to the fries before you take your first bite of burger. I'm always two trips to the fries, and then I go in twos, two things to the fries, two bites of the burger, maybe then two more bites of the burger. I'm not like a monster, and I'm like always the same, but it's always in twos.
What if you have nugs?
Ooh, I don't do nuggets anymore.
Are you
I'll
a
go tendies.
Are you a monster if you can
tendies,
if you can hold out? Are you a monster if you can hold out on the fries?
I have friends that will eat all their fries before even touching the burger.
Yeah,
that's a monster.
That's me.
Oh God.
Well, no, it's in the car. In the car. I'm like that with almost all foods. I eat them in sections.
No.
So it's like,
of course
first
you
this,
do.
Then that.
Wait,
then that,
you mean to tell me on Thanksgiving?
There's very little mixing.
Wait, so does Dexter.
On Thanksgiving? Wait a minute. On Thanksgiving, you won't have a bite with a little mashed potato, little corn, little turkey, all one bite?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. If you call mashed potatoes mashed potatoes, are you an idiot toddler?
I was told by someone.
You love food. I mean, that's it.
I was told by someone that meals are designed for you to have a little bit of everything together. It's like you're not supposed to be eating them separately. So like if you're there enjoying a good chef's meal, you should have like a little bit of like the meat, the potato, everything like on a bite.
Mm-hmm. Witty is having the potatoes as an appetizer. He's having the fries as an appetizer before he consumes the meat.
Weird.
Billy, that's what shepherd's pie is. That's what it's all about. It's a mash of everything. Mashed potatoes, peas, vegetables, meat. It's fantastic.
Garbage plate in Buffalo.
What?
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Look at the garbage plate in Buffalo. It's right up your alley.
Woody, you pour
exactly
the ketchup.
Exactly what a chef would like you to eat.
You pour the ketchup on the fries, don't you?
No, God.
Okay,
no.
I was going to say.
Listen.
Well, you're already a monster, so I was like, you might as well do that too.
Not that much of a monster.
You guys KFC ever?
I've done it.
Rare occasion.
Famous Bowl is where it's at. KFC.
That thing's one of the least healthiest things in all of fast food.
Yeah, but
impossible.
I did like it. In college.
How so?
Like calories.
No, it has it all.
I think it's like over 2,000 calories.
Well, that's because they're probably counting everything together, right?
Well, that's how.
Well, no, because you have the popcorn chicken and you have the mashed potatoes and you have the corn.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're just getting a meal, it comes with all that anyway.
Don't forget the cheese and the gravy, though.
Exactly.
But it's more mashed potatoes.
No,
I'm telling you, they do that for all the meals. Like they do the caloric intake total of every meal.
No. Right. I'm telling you, that's not how it works. This is one of those
this
things.
This has been Billy's argument lately. Just no, said several times.
Yeah. You know, my daughter actually knows no. She'll say no, and she goes like this with her finger, but you don't care about my daughter.
I learned it from you, Daddy.
Anyway, the way that it works, Chris, and I'm telling you because I've seen this multiple times, they'll tell you that, right? They'll tell you that there's 1,000 extra calories here just so that you think you're getting a deal, right? because I don't know how you guys decide things, but I'll look at food and I'll say, that's a lot of calories. What's the price? And then I do like a quick calculation in my head, price per calorie.
Really?
And then I decide if I'm getting a good deal or not. You know what I mean?
Calories.
Yeah, yeah. That is what I'm doing. I'm buying calories.
You want value on calories?
When you're putting value on calories.
Of course.
They're showing that because
I'm a sabermetrics guy. Everybody knows.
Don't want to eat too many calories.
No.
You have to be the only person in the world doing it
that way. I'm making sure that I'm getting the most calories percent. Same thing at the grocery store. When you guys go grocery shopping, do you ever look at the portions? Because if you look at the price, particularly in Publix, not every grocer does this, but it'll tell you, like, this is the price per ounce that you're getting. Yeah. So sometimes you think, oh my God, I'm getting a 64-ounce Heinz ketchup. This is great. This is only a dollar more. But then you look at the price per ounce and it's like, well, I can get a 48-ounce Heinz ketchup and I'm saving 2 cents per ounce. Let me do that one. So that's what I do with my calories. But what I think is going on with the Famous Bowl, which is what sometimes you'll see in these viral videos of beers, is you have the large beer and the medium beer at the stadium, and one is fatter than the other one, the other one's tall, and they pour it, and you realize, oh my God, it's the exact same amount. I think that's what's happening. So normally you'd get this little tiny bowl of mashed potatoes at a KFC or other, you know, place, not to just put KFC out there. But this thing, what they're doing is they give you a bigger bowl, but they're cramming all the stuff in there. So like inside there, you have the gravy, you have the mashed potatoes, you have the corn, you have the chicken. So it's a bigger bowl. So you think, oh my God, I'm getting more. And it's not. You're getting the same amount. It's just all put into one receptacle. You know,
I'd like to apologize to first time listeners tuning in for Panthers and Heat playoff coverage.
It was an off day. We're fine. They don't play till tomorrow. Too much of a break. Today, what day is today?
They play today.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Both teams.
Yeah. Well, we recorded this on Monday, so
it's Tuesday. I'm reading about this garbage plate. It's a Rochester area tradition. It seems foul.
What is it?
So it says here, custom dictates you get your choice of two base items from a list that includes home fries, pasta salad, baked beans, mac and cheese, French fries, and other similar food items.
Delightful.
After the starchy foundation is formed, it's topped with either grilled red hots, I don't know what that is, cheeseburgers, eggs, fish, or whatever else the restaurant you happen to be at offers. Then finally, the plate is topped with the meat sauce, onions, and bright yellow mustard. As if that wasn't enough, the modern garbage plate is often served with a soft roll or a few slices of white bread to sop up all the liquid.
You need to, yeah.
That's gross.
You dip it. No.
You guys were all into this without having seen a photo of it. So Google image this.
Yeah. Well, when he said throw in
that's
a
the one on Chris's screen is the best looking garbage plate I've ever seen.
It looks like my dog's vomit.
Yeah.
But like,
oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
No, there's
looks
no
like
way.
My dog's
what
vomit
do you mean?
Looks amazing. Which is it?
Well, in a good way, I said. Yeah.
Stugatz is saying it looks amazing.
Well, it does. I mean, is it not?
You get a garbage plate in Buffalo, it won't look like
that.
You've never just thought, like, I wish everyone could just shred up all of the things and just put it on a plate together? Not, like, a shake, per se, or, like, a smoothie.
A meat smoothie?
No, not a smoothie, but, like, close to it. Like, just all shredded. Almost like if everything was picadillo, you know what I mean? And then, like, all the ingredients are there just, like, kind of mixed in, and you could just, like, get a spoon and just... And the bread is in there. Everything's in there. Wouldn't that be great? There's no mess. That's the problem with hot dogs. Hot dogs are too messy.
I had dinner with Ron McGill over the weekend, and it's not going to surprise you guys.
Pick up that name, I mean.
At all, it's not going to surprise you.
Who paid?
He did, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
How's that work? You're like, no, I got it. Ron, we'll split it.
Yeah. I'm on a hot
streak.
When
you're both rich, you're just like, all right, your turn.
Stugatz
you didn't do your famous walk away? You do that every time I have dinner with you. It's been like 10 years, but
what?
The last time we had dinner, now he gets up, he walks away.
I don't know if Dan is doing the walk away.
No, he does it all the time.
Wow.
Yes.
Wait, yeah.
He walks away to pay.
He walks away to pay.
That was my question.
It was a Larry David episode. A guy disappears when the bill comes. That's what I thought Dan was doing.
Dan is a generous guy, as we all know, but he will get up early. He'll meet the waiter somewhere, give him a credit card, and all of a sudden your meal's paid for. That's very nice of him, you know?
The thing that I was going to say to you, though, is the size of the steak that man ate, you know, was sort of the Fred Flintstone steak, and at one point, he just stood up and let all the juices go into the rice. Like, he was just pouring, and no, it was beautiful. It was Cuban, it was wonderful, but that's as far as I will go with the mixing of 70 foods in order to get, like, a gruel going where I'm eating stew more than a meal.
When you said he stood up. I imagine that Ron, midway through his big steak, just needed one of these.
he's like Tarzan. And incidentally, Tony, on vacation, Tony.
Yeah.
Evidently, it wasn't a small block of the Tony shot in basketball. Evidently, it was a seismic swatting of the ball. And Ron McGill was being polite here while he was around here, not embarrassing Tony, who didn't bring up at all the fact. Tony's delusionally confident, isn't he?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Has every right to be. I mean,
no.
But delusionally confident the way that Stugatz
is. He takes the confidence that, because he is good looking. There's, you can't dispute that.
He takes that confidence
that he's gotten his whole life, especially in this setting of, you're so good, and he takes it to sports. He's a good athlete, but, you know, he's fine. Yeah.
Right. But Ron McGill is 62 years old.
That's the thing. He's playing against old men. Right. Yeah. And he only had, Lewis seems to be his assistant that just goes around filming Tony's entire life and putting it on the internet. And then he brought him in here, and Lewis just edits the videos and puts out only the highlights of Tony's
Billy,
makes.
Billy, what's going on with you and them in general? Because you're like a big brother to them. You're perpetually bemused by what they're young, immature, and silly. And they make a mess, the two of them, but they're funny together, and they seem to make you happy. Yeah, you say but you're always smiling around them.
Yeah, I mean, what am I gonna do? You know what I mean? I'm not in charge of
them.
Can
it be both that we love them and enjoy their presence, but we can acknowledge that they love them some them.
Wow.
It's fair.
We all do. Yeah. I love me some me. Like, we all love.
I hate myself.
Okay.
What is the true story behind the Ricky's Weed Farm video that Tony went to the Super Bowl to get and came back without?
I have no clue on that one. No. I get the same stuff we get on air, we get anytime it comes up off air.
There was a delay in the actual transfer of footage. It seems as though every time I talk to them, I'm like, okay, just because I'm genuinely interested in learning, like, why is there a latency here? It seems as though most of the problems have been addressed with additional support. There's two new guys in the corner right now as we speak.
I know.
Yeah. Listen, Tony,
I think one of their names is Mike. He hasn't formally introduced himself to me, but I've heard his name is Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, my understanding is Danny's here to film Lewis film Tony, and Mike's here to film Danny film Lewis film Tony.
And the
cherry on the top is that one guy paid $1,000 for security at the beginning of the pandemic after the insurrection. That's the cherry on top in the corner of the room over there. What is happening around here? What is our video department?
We're growing, baby.
We've got
seeds of a startup.
But where's the video?
Oh, the Ricky thing, you're never going to get that.
No, you have to ask Jenny, who's in London.
What?
Yeah. Who?
Jenny. Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Dan, you haven't London. Answered the question.
Across the pond?
You bought her a flat.
How do you do your burger and fry situation? We never got to the bottom of this.
I don't eat burgers anymore.
I knew that would be the answer.
Oh, look at you.
No, but
if... Fancy schmancy.
Back when, in July, when you did.
I would eat a burger, I'd take bites of hamburger and throw in fries in the middle and just eat the fries around it, probably eat a few fries before I eat the burger.
You do put fries in your salad.
I have put fries in my salad, yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm allowed to have potatoes.
It's weird.
Why?
Because he has so many allergies. Like, he's allergic to garlic. He's allergic to some of the most benign foods, but he can just pound French fries. It's odd.
Yeah, potatoes are okay.
How do you know? Did you do that test where they paint you with 1,000
needles? It's a meridian blood test. Yeah, I was feeling fatigue all the time. Ooh. I need less rest now than I used to need. And I know.
I get your text.
And I'm just, in general, I just feel better but I know immediately when I've eaten something that doesn't agree with my body, like it's as if I've been poisoned.
How was Applebee's with Ron, by the way? No, did you get the bourbon steak?
You go to the chocolate fondue fountain?
Where'd you go? Because when you said big portions, I was thinking Whisca Lindo's Latin American number two.
We went to a
huge portion.
How many Latin Americans are there?
But Luis Galindo seems to have at least two, because that's Luis Galindo's number two.
Yeah, but they all have a number.
Yeah.
And a bunch of places called Rinconcito. But
a Rinconcito Latino? Yeah, there's a bunch of Rinconcitos. Yeah. Sorry, Dan. Back to you.
Yeah.
An Argentinian restaurant near Little Haiti.
Hmm.
Very good.
Churrasco?
Little snake ass.
No, churrasco. No, oh. His was a giant. What the hell?
I've been there. I've been to that spot.
What was it? It was. It's not a T-bone.
Some sweetbreads.
It's just Vasile? It's such a giant piece of meat.
Did you have the sweetbreads?
Oh, my God. I did not have the sweetbread.
Longhorn?
Sweetbreads, not a fair name. Not accurately named.
I think it's always strange. You think sweetbreads, you think it's going to be something delectable and something desserty, and it's instead it's like an animal part that's unusual.
Neck meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cow neck meat. Yeah. You put lemon all over it. It's delicious if it's done properly, but it's not bread.
The Heat and Celtics play tonight.
Ah.
Oh, I hate the Celtics.
The Panthers and Lightning play tonight.
Hate the Lightning.
I've seen all the write-ups from Barry Jackson and Dave Hyde complaining as sports fans. It's not fair. You get a team of a lifetime, first quarter century team in hockey, and it's colliding against your basketball playoffs. And if you're a fan of South Florida sports, not just hockey or basketball, you can't go to both. It's not possible to go to both. They're very far from each other. And so you've got to watch both at the same time. And I wonder how weird that's going to be for people who are invested in both teams. I wonder how strange it's going to be to have sort of your emotional attention taken if both games are close late.
I think the strategy you have to take is the Panthers start at 7, which is a nice early start for the Panthers. The Heat don't start till like 8:45.
Midnight, yeah.
Yeah, like 8:50, midnight. Let's just call it midnight. You watch the Panther game, and then you join the Heat game, you know, halfway through. I think that's how you have to do it, right?
It's so shitty, though, that you have to make that choice.
I know.
And I, like, I...
Terrible.
It's
tougher for the media, right? It's the worst for people who work in it. For fans, you can monitor both. Like Stugat says, you catch the second half of the Heat game. It might actually be perfect for fans watching on TV.
No. Yes. No.
I think that this is a great situation for Greg, which now gets out of having to cover both.
That's what I'm
saying. Right? Like the media portion, now you're just assigned to one.
Well, it's easier if you want to be lazy, tougher if you want to cover both. That's what I mean. Yes, easier for sure. My dad for sure is happy that he only has to work two nights this week.
No Greg Cody, because the playoffs are in full tilt here. He needs to get to his regular job. No Greg Cody today. We hope to have him back next week.
I've made my decision. I'm going to Sunrise tonight just because this is a more random occurrence in the history of South Florida sports. I don't want to dismiss what an achievement it is for the Miami Heat to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but we've seen this before. We all have faith in this franchise. I will see it again in the very near future. Florida, I've been waiting for this Panthers run for a very long time, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it with an eye on the Heat game once it tips off.
How would you guys explain to the national audience, because these are two different arenas, two different places, two different feelings, two different things. How would you explain to the audience the difference between, and which one is better, between the playoff atmospheres? Because hockey can get pretty damn electric. Like the noise in that building and the sway in that building with when you've got an exciting team and goal scoring, like it's pretty damn fun.
I think there's something to what Mike just said. We've seen the Heat in this spot so many times that we become accustomed to it. With the Panthers, it's exciting. It was electric. The one game I went to was electric, and I think just because we haven't been there in 26 years, it's a big deal. Like, the Heat have won 3 championships. The Heat have been to the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat went to the NBA Finals 2 years ago. The Panthers, they've never been here.
Does it feel new?
There is a novelty to it. Last year, when these two teams played in that first round, we went to game one. That's number one, it's one of the best hockey games I've ever seen. It was phenomenal. And that was electric, but there was a lot going into that. It was also a big release because we finally had a full arena coming out of all the quarantines and stadium limitations. So that was really great. I think the constant energy in a hockey arena is better, but having been to both, when both are really cooking, there is something distinctly Miami.
Yes.
About a Miami Heat big time run in a hugely important game that really taps into the multicultural aspects of Miami that really appeal to me, that make me feel, that have me felt swelling with Miami pride. The Sunrise thing, it's a hike, and it's not, it feels like a novelty, and I'm super happy to be there, and I love the team, But when the Heat are really, really humming, that to me is peak South Florida outside of Miami Hurricane.
I think it's louder at Panthers. To Mike's point, I agree with Mike saying it's louder maybe at Panthers games, but the vibe when it's really at its best is better at a Heat game.
The Panthers Arena, for anyone who has not, who's only seen overhead shots of it on a national broadcast, is essentially an arena that sprouts up from a parking lot next to a shopping mall. Heat's arena is connected to downtown Miami. It is actually on the water. It is not like all of the other stadiums where they show overhead shots of water, and that's a complete lie. An overhead shot of American Airlines Arena actually includes water, is in downtown Miami, and like you said, connects to the city, connects to a vibe in a way that no other sports arena does in this city.
FLA Live is sinking into the earth because it's built on swampland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's legit. Wow. That was a case like 20 years ago. They budgeted for it. They planned for it, but they're building it on marshland.
There's a canal. I mean.
There you go.
At the Panthers last game, they played Peppas, and it went. It got the crowd going a little bit, but then right after that, they played Jump On It, and it got a bigger reaction.
I do prefer the music in terms of an entire experience. The early 2000s, ball to rock vibe. I mean, they play Jimmy Eat World after they score goals. I do prefer the in-game entertainment as a novelty, but when they play Peppas at an FTX Arena game, it's absolutely electric.
To explain it to the national audience that might be joining us locally and is going to get sick of us cramming Panthers and Heat into all parts of the national show over the next couple of weeks, Whittingham is right that it's an antiseptic place at the edge of the Everglades. Like, everything around that, why are you shaking your head no?
Because the description that you guys gave, I mean, there could be the ultimate home ice advantage in like 10, 15 years. If this thing's actually sinking into Earth, you could be playing games from hell. Mm-hmm. Imagine playing ice hockey in hell.
And Art Briles is watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something I tell you right now, the Devils would trade for in an instant. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine the Devils being able to play from inside Earth, which is what the Panthers are headed towards.
Mike's not making that up. It is marshland that is. They did plan for it. They planned for the idea that it would sink into the Earth. But when Whittingham says it is basically the culture and feel near there is basically Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah. I mean, there's a quarter deck right
down
the street.
Feel free to say that on air, Billy, as opposed to just in the other room.
Well, I don't
to
know.
Yourself.
Well, because I love Rainforest Cafe.
You do
Cafe.
Not love it.
I do love Rainforest Cafe.
What do you love
Cafe.
About it?
Nobody
how
loves
overpriced it,
Billy.
It is.
I love
how terrible the food is.
The place is a pain in the ass.
That shit ass all of it.
Rainforest Cafe is incredible. There's nothing
thank
like
you.
Saddling up to a bar for happy hour and your bar is full of zebra legs.
Boom. Rainforest Cafe is the best. I love a good themed restaurant. I went one time to Orlando. I don't want to share all the details because I'm going to get made fun of.
Okay.
I'll tell you. So it was for before my wedding.
Really had to fight you on that
the
one.
Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. No, my friends took me to Orlando for like a bachelor trip, like the week before my wedding. We didn't actually go to like the parks or anything, but we ended up at Disney Springs, formerly known as Downtown Disney, and our big meal was at the dinosaur themed restaurant. Very traumatic. I'll have you know.
It's your bachelor party. Run this back.
This sounds like the worst bachelor party
well,
ever.
Well, no, hold on. This is only half of it.
Went to a Nationals Marlins game for a bachelor party.
This is only half of it. Yeah, no. The first half of it.
This is just the start?
No, yeah.
All right, so we're pre-gaming.
This is the pre-game, yes.
All right.
No, this is the post-game. This is after the activity.
Oh, Jesus. This is the party after the party.
Yeah, no, the party was we went to a... We went to like an arcade off of International Drive.
Right.
And we played this. God, I'm trying to remember the name.
This was your wedding?
Well, no, this wasn't my wedding. You
no,
guys
but
were
this
at my
was
wedding.
For your wedding.
This was to celebrate my upcoming nuptials.
So you were. How old are you?
It started with
31?
An arcade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the time, I didn't know if I was going to have a job. So I said, let's just keep loose. Things were a little crazy around here. But we went to like this place and we played. It was basically basketball, but you played it with like, with almost like cestas, right? And you were driving bumper cars. So it's bumper cars with cestas. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, it's incredible. I wish that they had some of that down here. Anyway.
No, I love that. What is the name of that?
Because it's called Whirly Ball, I think.
Yes, Whirly Ball. It's bumper cars and it's sort of basketball, but with cestas.
Yeah, and you're throwing a wiffle ball, boom, but you have to get it right into the square of the backboard and then it lights up. It's like, every time. It's incredible, whirly ball. I'm surprised that there's not more whirly ball around the country, but that's a story for another day. So anyways, we're at the dinosaur-themed restaurant for like the, this is now like the post-game of
so
the
this is not a kid's birthday party.
I can't believe this.
No, we also rented rented a house that we all stayed in and had a pool, and the rooms were themed. So I was like in the Little Mermaid room, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's so cute.
One of those classic Disney Airbnbs.
Yeah, it was one of those like mansions that they built that's like 8 bedrooms, 16 bathrooms, and you can rent for like $6 a night.
Hearing of this. Yeah. How is it possible?
Again, things were going on at that time. I didn't want to burden
this?
You with, yeah.
Who was responsible
his
for planning this?
My friends that hate me. Yeah. My friends that hate me.
Billy, I regret to inform you that the Whirly Dome in Orlando on International Drive is permanently closed.
No, it's not. Let's buy it. Moss, Miami?
I don't think Whirly Ball exists anymore.
It has to. I'm looking this up. There has to be. Whirlyball.com. I'm gonna look into this. But anyways, the point of the story was I love a good themed restaurant, and we were at a dinosaur-themed restaurant, and it seems fine. There's dinosaurs going on, all this stuff, right? And there's children there, obviously. It's Disney Springs. This is themed for like a whole family. And then at a certain point when you're eating in, well, I should say 8 certain points because it keeps happening because it happens like every 20 minutes. There's the meteor shower that ends the lives of the dinosaurs happening while you're eating. So you're eating and then all of a sudden it's like thunder and lightning. And then you just start seeing like across the ceiling of the restaurant.
It scares kids.
And you're like, holy crap, like we're all about to die. Do you guys not read history books? Like, why did you include this in the theme of this dinosaur restaurant?
And where are we in the bachelor party at this point?
This is after Whirly Ball. We went to Disney Springs. They didn't tell me what we were doing. They're like, we're going to Orlando. And at the time, I was like, we worked for Disney. I'm like, should I take my passes? Like, I could probably help you guys out, maybe get in. I have some comps, which I need to look into because those are expiring. Yeah, but I was like, should we go? Like, what should we do here? They're like, no, we got this all taken care of. So we played Whirly Ball for a couple of hours until these stupid kids came and they wanted to play Whirly Ball. And then we had to wait. We played like 8 straight games. And then these dumb kids came in, like 12-year-olds. And they're like, we want to play Whirly Ball now. And it's like, I'm the one getting married here, not you kids. So we had to stop so that they could play. And then we ended up at the dinosaur restaurant. Then we went back, you know, we hung out at the house, went in the pool, and that was
it. Went for ice cream after?
Oh, actually, you know what? I forgot to tell you, our house had an arcade. There was a garage that had an arcade. None of the games worked.
I think I stayed in that same house.
Really? Yeah. It was incredible.
None of the games worked?
Well, you had to like, yeah.
Okay.
Some of the games worked. Right. Some of the games worked.
Did you have a single drink of alcohol?
Yeah, at the house. Oh, okay. We were in the arcade. Yeah.
Okay. It's getting rowdy in there?
Yeah, I see.
Getting rowdy at the arcade.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, that's up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low-price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Don Lebatard.
I don't want to be too extreme on this, but he failed America.
Stugatz.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Mike, you spent a good deal of that story holding your head in your hands because Billy warned us that he would come under mockery, and yet he bravely and vulnerably went out there with that story of a bachelor party that I think he realized is the same one a 16-year-old would have before getting married.
Well, I mean, I knew you guys would make fun of me. What do you want me to do? There's still 5 Whirly Ball locations. There's 3 in Illinois, so I'm here to declare Illinois the capital of Whirly Ball. Mm-hmm. And then there's 1 in Wisconsin and 1 in Colorado, so... Wow, Chicago. So, guys, I'm going to look into this because me and Sagats have big plans for this football season. And we have road trips planned. So, I'm going to see if we can maybe pass by a Whirly Ball location.
The Jets Bears game.
No.
Oh, that's in New York.
Yeah, no. You want it to go to bad. Packers. Yeah.
The award,
oh, Packers.
The award winning God Bless Football is going to go places with its award winning producer.
We'll see. Maybe. It has to get approved. Approval's the big thing here. Yep. You know what I mean?
We're a few steps away.
Well, we'll see.
There's always a yes somewhere in the company, I found. So just keep plugging away.
You ask enough people?
Ask enough. And you'll next thing you know, Roy's got bottle service at Public House in D.C.
Yeah. How did that happen?
For a couple of tweets. I'm not sure.
You're going to have to ask Lewis on that one. He was the one that was invited, and I joined him in that.
Invited.
Yeah, he was invited
to Public House.
Yeah, I'm with Lewis.
Yeah.
You're with Lewis on that.
It was a Public Bar Live that invited Lewis on that.
That's not what Mike's asking you. Mike's asking you more how all of that came to be, because there's a yes always somewhere in the company.
Going to Washington? I just asked. I asked Hildy, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got money to go. And we had so much fun doing that too, man. So much fun.
I'm going to Hildy for my Hawaiian vacation this summer.
Is that why Tony's now in Hawaii?
Yeah, Tony's there collecting content.
Yeah.
Name the game. It's an IG story with a face filter, and boom.
Name the game is collecting content. Uh-huh. That's the excuse.
Well,
when Bimmel says no, Hildy says yes. Is that basically the deal?
Yeah, it's like bad kids. You just keep going around and asking the parent that lets you do whatever
exactly
you want.
Exactly what happened. Yeah. Next thing you know, Chris Cody's in L.A.
Well, Chris Cody was just saying before the show, hey, Dan, I can go with 3 other show members to Tampa for game 3. And I'm like, you can? And I figure we should be doing this. It's the stuff that ESPN wouldn't let us do, so it doesn't make any sense or any money, but that's what we should be doing.
You lose sense and money.
No, I know. It doesn't make any sense or money that Roy's having bottle service in Washington, but it's not something ESPN would have done for him. So what are you laughing about, Billy?
Well, because the same way that Chris was approached by Sheets and Giggles to do this, K-Funk, who is Jabba's assistant on God Bless Football, keeps texting me asking me if I want to go with him to a game in Tampa to watch. Yeah, but he also has asked me to see if the company can get the tickets for us.
I can't wait to find out how many NFL games are tied to Dead and Company shows. That's how we're doing it.
Doozy of a summer, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't
All of a sudden,
wait.
He said Jags Vikings, and you're like, what's going on over there?
Let me find a training camp anywhere near any of the Dead and Company venues.
Oh, I've heard about the training camp tour that has you gone the entire summer.
Well, not just August. I mean, that's all. Listen, it will provide value to the entire show. I'll be out there. I'll be pinching Andy Reid's belly. Dan will throw it out to me. I'm patting his belly. We throw it back to Dan. Boom. We make money.
That was a surprise to even me yesterday, because we're doing now our football planning. And Stugatz is just in like, oh, we should maybe go to like a training camp or two, you know? And I'm like, okay, we'll figure it out. Like, we're looking at the schedule. And he's like, no, buddy, bus tour. 2 straight weeks, every day, new training camp. We're going to go. Me, you, Golic, Gojo. Everybody's going to be there. We're doing it.
And I'm like, wait, what? Golic and Gojo, man.
Well, I'm giving them, feel free to come. Anyone, feel free to come. You guys don't want to go. Dan wants to go to training camp. No. This is a highly sellable thing for DraftKings. I mean,
a 2-week bus tour.
You don't think me patting Andy Reid on the belly is going to be good?
Yeah, it's
You're right,
good.
Mike. You're right.
But that's the complicated thing, is that a lot of planning will have to be involved for us to actually have access to Andy Reid for you to pat him in the belly, where it's not just we're pulling up to like East Rutherford, New Jersey, and we're not talking to anyone but Brandon or Braxton Berrios.
But Golic will be there, and Andy Reid loves Golic. That's the angle, Billy. Now you're seeing.
Gamble.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It seems like a good idea. It seems like it would be fun to have a presence at training camp. The only thing that I would wonder about is, will Stugatz show up? At the beginning, in the middle, will he go?
It's a fair thing to ask.
Will he go and do the things that he has to do, or will we get stuck with a bus tab and Billy's going to go out dressed as an eagle to pet Andy Reid on the belly? Because you've got to go to Tim. You've got to go to Tim Legler's house in Florida. If not, you, the entire show needs to do Halloween there. We need to figure out how to do that.
Again, like we've done it before, but he's got a new place. Where is he living now?
He's close to Tampa now. He's in Florida.
Yeah.
That's the weekend of Michigan, Ohio State. We're going to be at the Shoe for that one. So.
What is happening? And
ask
what
Gildy.
Do I have to I do? Mean. I just have to ask Gildy because I've gone on several sports trips here.
You should be asking Hildy.
I joined the post game from Arrowhead Stadium once. Did that count? No, can I expense that?
It's up to you.
Or can I expense it if I put an IG story of bottle service? Because if so, I've got dozens of trips I want to expense.
Stugatz, I want to talk. I don't want to preview tonight's Heat Celtics game, but, and this is this runs the possibility. I think somebody said that Ernie Johnson now gets a Heat Lifer card, but J.J. Redick said something recently that got his revoked.
Yeah, he picked the Sixers after game four.
Oh, boy.
So he got his Heat Lifer card revoked, and I might be saying something that will get me in trouble here with the Heat Lifer community before this Heat series starts, but I believe that the second half of the season that the Celtics at their best were better than Miami was at any point this season at their best, that when they were dragging everybody the second half of the season, winning by 20 and 30 points every single game, I believe that Boston was better. I don't know what that means. I think these teams are evenly matched, but at their strongest this season, I thought Boston was better than Miami when they were healthy and they had Time Lord and they were the best defense in the sport. And they'd get out to they just were clubbing people. It was 70-45 at the half of every game they were playing.
The offense was good, but the defense really was the reason that team became so good. It was so good in the second half. But you just mentioned Williams is not there and Marcus Smart is not going to play tonight.
No, but Williams is available now, is he not? I think he was available for game 7 and did not play. And when he did play in the last series, he didn't do very much and he wasn't himself. But Amin told us yesterday that their defense didn't change all that much without him in the middle of it.
So if you look at the results, they're kind of kooky. Jimmy Butler didn't play the Celtics blowout game, but you were saying you were talking up the Celtics a lot headed to that game that essentially decided the number one seed, were a relatively healthy Miami Heat team faced a relatively healthy Boston team that was clicking on all cylinders. And the Miami Heat won that game, 106-98. And they have home court in this series, a series that may come down to that home court because of that.
Why is the number going the other way in betting? Why is the number going Boston?
Have you watched television? People don't even – they don't give the Heat credit for beating Joel Embiid all banged up.
Yep.
This is all about Jason Tatum's dominance. Everybody's favoring Jason Tatum over Jimmy Butler in the head-to-head matchup. The betting lines are, yes, they're in part about who Vegas thinks wins, but they're more so who Vegas thinks you think will win. And it's about getting action on that number. And the public is hammering the Celtics because of this season-long narrative that Miami is fraudulent.
But they've seen the Celtics. Mike, you're right. That's how Vegas comes up in part with that number. They've seen the audience, the public has seen the Celtics and Jason Tatum beat Kevin Durant, beat Kyrie Irving, beat Giannis, and the Heat don't have a superstar.
Well, but this is where I will stop you, and I'm not going to stop you. I'm not going to have again the conversation about Jimmy Butler and whether he's a superstar or not.
I think he is. But that's the perception. That's all I'm saying.
By metrics, okay, he's been the best player in this postseason.
Yes.
Period. Hard stop. No one has been better this postseason, and I like Stugatz's stories. It's one of the things that drew me to sports. I just love the stories that you can tell. I am guilty of underestimating Jimmy Butler. I did not think he was a superstar. He stole those Michelob commercials while I was watching, while I was wrong. I was wrong and wrong again about how good Jimmy Butler is. I thought, well, mid-range guy, 8 seed, if he's your best player. I thought that what he was with the Bulls is what he was. And then he came here, and now people are wondering about the $50 million they have to pay him several years from now. But, Stugatz, when you say storytelling, and you say, because you come in here this week, Dan, I need you to say it. I need you to say that I was right. I, Stugatz, was right about Jason Tatum.
I was.
Prove it. Not you. Right now, because this dog who people don't think is a superstar, who emasculated the Timberwolves, this dog who ran Ben Simmons out of Philadelphia, and Embiid still respects him because he's unusual, okay? He's made of barbed wire, and he gets respect from the highest forms of respect in that sport.
Are you saying do it in the conference finals?
What I'm saying is that as these stories meet Stugatz, Jason Tatum, it's not going to be enough to do it against Kyrie. He will not get the credit for doing it to Jimmy Butler that he will get for doing it to Kyrie and Kevin Durant and to Giannis. But what I'm telling you is what he's getting as a personality type that he's got to go through here. This is a thicket fence. Like this is an electrical fence of, oh wait, you got to go through Jimmy Butler to go get this. And everyone knows Jimmy Butler's a dog. And then at the rim is Bam. And the last time you were there, that didn't work out so well for Tatum. And so here's the story, Stugatz, for both of them, right? Jimmy Butler, as we talk about Memphis saying, we're the young guys, telling Steph Curry, we're the dynasty, we're the young guys, you guys are old, we want your things. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have to go through Jimmy Butler at the top of the superstar chain, at the top of the conference, at the top of where history will regard these stories of conflict when the games get tight and they're decided at the end.
This is the climb for Jason Tatum. Can he climb past the Eastern Conference Finals, make it to the NBA Finals? For Jimmy Butler, it's validation. That's what this is. It's all about validating his career. Yes, I can be the best guy in a team and take them to the NBA Finals and
but
win an NBA championship.
But he has to, guys.
Win an NBA championship.
But you say win. I don't even expect them to win in the next round. I think Golden State would have to be injured. I expect the Miami Heat to lose in the next round if they get to the next round. And it will not be, to my way of thinking, a lack of success. Like, it won't be an indictment of Jimmy Butler if he can't get past that Golden State team. If he manages to get to the finals twice when I thought he was the number one player on an 8 seed. That's what I thought Minnesota was getting. That's what I thought Philadelphia was getting. That's what I thought Miami was getting.
But if the Celtics get there and lose to the Warriors, what is that for Jason Tatum? Like, what are you doing there? Like, Jason Tatum's going to be expected to win that series, but Jimmy Butler's not. He's fine just getting there.
What do you mean, what am I doing to Jason Tatum?
I'm just asking.
No, I'm not doing the storytelling as it regards either one of these guys. Like, if you want to be right about Jason Tatum, you can be right about Jason Tatum when he is Kevin Durant. He's not yet.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, Dan, getting to the NBA Finals, I understand it's a great accomplishment for Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy Butler would tell you, hey, I've been there. I was there 2 years ago. I need to take the next step here.
Okay, but he can be the best player on a team that plays for the championship is the point. It's been proven already.
Contends, yes.
It's been proven already that I'm wrong there. And part of the story here that's fun is that Jason Tatum wants the things that Jimmy Butler wants. Jimmy Butler's older. And I don't do the look at these guys and who's got the more jagged teeth. But if Jason Tatum throws up some 7-for-21s or some 7-for-24s or some games where he's not getting free throws, we're going to start doing the clash of these two guys as personality types. Jimmy Butler, guy who emasculates the Timberwolves. Karl Anthony Towns hasn't recovered from that yet, and Andrew Wiggins had to go rehab in Golden State is because of whatever he did in that locker room to Andrew Wiggins that allows him to like have practices where he's scoring all the points or winning, skunking them in a practice while wearing a Rolex.
Worked out well for Wiggins.
Yeah, what he did, well, obviously not the same player after the All-Star break and Poole came for all his minutes. And he's the third Splash Brother now in his last name is Poole, for God's sakes. It's a perfect fit. I said Splash. Hang on, I got to find it.
Splash. Good job.
Also, I'd love to have that debate about the Warriors with you because I think Steph Curry has a lot to prove in the NBA Finals, and he's got to get past Luka first, and that's going to be a lot tighter. But the national media, the fans, the NBA, because of Jason Tatum's age, because of his game, he deserves it. He's been crowned. This is his star-making vehicle. It's already kind of there if you pay attention to TV time. We're talking about him like, can he become a superstar? Pretty sure from the coverage I've seen, he's being treated as such. But now it's about building the narrative with the success around Jason Tatum. Jimmy Butler missed that boat. Jimmy Butler is already, if you pay attention to what people say, his best years are behind him. Playoff Jimmy's a different player.
Yes.
Altogether. It's confusing to me because I watch him in the regular season. He shoots threes. I trust him.
Crazy.
I don't understand.
Dwayne Wade also had that in him, that you just can't take what you see in the regular season quite that serious with this guy, because when the lights shine their brightest, they're going to go to this guy, and he finds a way to deliver.
Stugatz, my point is that's what Tatum has to go through as a personality type, and Jimmy Butler wants his too, right? Jimmy Butler will fight Spo and Udonis and his own team because Jimmy Butler is a rabid competitive asshole. To me, whatever it is that Jordan had camouflaged by the sneaker commercials where he can be an asshole as part of, I'm a competitor, this is how you win. Sure. Jimmy Butler seems to get away with a lot of that. You don't hear a lot of what Mike says of Jimmy Butler, which is every organization begins to roll its eyes at what a headache this guy can be storming in every day. I don't even know what that means. I don't know how to describe anyone else in sports that way, where an organization knows, hey, this guy is going to burn you out in 3 or 4 years. LeBron got there. It's not something I had associated with Jimmy Butler.
I really love this series, and it's why I believe. I was going through and reading about the postseason history between these two teams, kind of psyching myself up for it, getting charged up. I was seeing some of the images of the series and some of the history. And I saw a take on Twitter a couple days ago. I forget the Twitter account. I wish I could give them credit. That Steph and LeBron made it seem far too easy to everybody else, all the casual NBA fans, that getting to the finals is just this birthright that the best players are supposed to do. Look at Giannis's postseason record. Look at Kevin Durant just had to deal with. It is really hard. And yet these two franchises are now meeting in the postseason for the fifth time since 2010. They are the two top teams of this conference in the 21st century. And they have so many similarities on the court from how they play. But culturally, it's such a dichotomy between
so
the
great.
Two.
It's
and
so
one
great.
Team has overwhelmingly had the advantage in head-to-head matchups. Coaches have come and gone for the Boston Celtics. Great coaches, Brad Stevens, Doc Rivers. And now they have a rookie head coach. And Eric Spoelstra's had answers for all of them when he's been on a level playing field, not going up against Paul Pierce and a championship team with the ghosts of Jermaine O'Neal and Dwayne Wade. I am so hyped for this series because of the Tatum stuff, because of the history between these two teams, because of genuine animosity. This is a stronger rival for the Miami Heat than the New York Knicks were. That was a flash in the pan, relatively. Yes, the intensity will never match that. But in terms of actual hatred and sustained success and someone that you could else point to and say, them, it's the Celtics.
I think I agree with that. But Mike, I'm interested in what you said about Tatum. So if he gets to the Eastern Conference Finals for now a second time in 4 years, and he loses to the Heat, or 3 years, excuse me, and they're perceived to be team over superstar, they're a team, right? You don't think the media is going to come down on Tatum like, hey, get to the finals already? Yeah. We built you up,
but
get to the finals?
That's what happens when everybody picks a team and that team loses. And it'll happen to Jason Tatum too. Swear to God, because
right.
we'll start looking at his postseason record, seeing that all these chances he's had to just merely make a finals, and it won't be about the Miami Heat's success. It'll be about Jason Tatum's failure. Book it.
Can we talk about that coarsening, though, when it comes to the impossibly high standard of you either win a championship or you're a loser? Because I watched it happen on ESPN yesterday where Patrick Beverly just tore down Chris Paul, and then they turned it into content with him when Matt Barnes.
He killed it.
Talks about being disrespectful. Yes, of course he killed it, but he puts a clown nose on Patrick Beverly, and these people are, you know, Matt Barnes and Patrick Beverly have been starters in the NBA for a long time.
He called Chris Paul a cone. Is there a worse insult? Honestly, when you're talking about a guy's defensive ability in basketball, is there a worse insult than calling him a cone?
Let's pause here because I want to dedicate the entirety of an hour to talking about Patrick Beverly later in the show because a lot broke out around that. But to Mike's point about how hard it is to get to the finals, man, Jimmy Butler had to take our respect, Stugatz, because we were all doubting that he could do. I'm still surprised when he puts up 30 or 40 in a postseason game. I don't even understand.
Really?
I don't even understand what's happening to me that I'm still surprised.
Jimmy Butler,
by
this postseason is averaging 28.7 points per game. He's essentially averaging what you're being surprised by. That's a 7-point jump in his points per game in the regular season. His 3-point percentage went from 23 to 36. His true shooting has gone up. His rebounding has gone up. His field goal percentage has gone up. Everything has gone up in the playoffs, which is normally the exact opposite. This guy thrives in these scenarios.
And yet you're still surprised. I understand it, I guess, but you're still surprised.
Surprises me every time. And I got to tell you, that Hornets series that Dwayne Wade had, that also surprised me because all the minutes to this person's knees, I don't trust this person shooting from mid-range, and I certainly don't trust them shooting from three. Greatness rose above all. Dwayne Wade on zero knees won a game 7 against the Spurs. At shooting mid-range shots that I lamented all season long. There's just a special gene that these guys have.
And among the players who have made it to the second round of the playoffs, or now later, he is fourth efficient when you look at the true shooting numbers because he gets so many free throws, and he's been better from three. So high-usage guys, he's been fourth most efficient. So it's not just a lot of scoring, it's efficient scoring. This is a great player. And we don't talk about that way. It's so weird. Why don't we talk about him as a great player?
Well, here's one of
the it's story for him too. It's his career arc that has honestly shot himself
validation.
In the foot.
Yes.
No, but like it's coming through in Chicago, not being a high draft pick, then being the pain in the ass in three different stops, like not being able to stick until year 10, I think is the reason why
he's
people think
of
him
this
way.
He's still a pain in the ass,
way.
By the way.
Oh, right, exactly.
Yes. Very much so a pain in the ass.
Well, but his quotes after games.
A month removed from fighting the coach.
his quotes after all of that are grateful that they let me be the asshole that I am. He doesn't use the word asshole, but he's like, they let me be me here.
Well, keep averaging 28 a game in the playoffs.
And I think, though, as we talk about some of this stuff, because him shooting threes, I mock the Tyler Hero quote earlier this season where he says, people don't think that Jimmy can shoot, but he can shoot. And I'm like, the way we measure that is, can you shoot? And you can't shoot. And I don't know what Tyler Hero's
done. In the playoffs, he can.
And no, but this is why I want to say,
clutch gene.
I have not had an experience like this with a player, I don't think, ever in any sport. I'm not allowed to be surprised when all you keep doing is your averages. Like, if it's just your average, I don't get to keep being surprised every time you meet your average when it's your average. Like, I'm surprised by my surprise, and then I end up swirling in a toilet bowl if I've never covered an athlete this way. With it, which is like, how is this happening? I don't think he can actually be the best player on a championship team.
When he goes for 35 tonight, are you going to be stunned tomorrow?
No, I can't be stunned.
But you're going to be.
But I'm going to be.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.